Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited to tell you about my guest today. Her name is Braca Goetz. She is a Harvard grad. She's the author of 42 picture books for children, and she's also the author of a candid memoir, Nourish the Soul, Filling the Emptiness Within, and it's about her journey to joy. Welcome to the show, Braca.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. And, you know, people don't know the background of what happens sometimes in the technical side of doing a live podcast. And I just have to mention to you guys, Braca's phone dropped just moments before we were, well, maybe a few minutes before we were supposed to go live. And she literally went to her next door neighbor and said, I need to use your phone. So thank you to your neighbor for stepping in, because my goodness, this became a team effort. So congratulations to your neighbor. Thank you. Okay. Oh my goodness. It was meant to be. So
yes.
Let's start off by learning a little bit about you. So please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So, like, as you said, 42 children's books have been published. And what do they all have in common? They all help children's souls to shine as much as possible in all different ways, because some books are about the prevention of abuse. Some books are about teaching children about disabilities, how to be more inclusive, how to interact better with other children that have disabilities. Some books are even about swimming safely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the
eating
healthy
body,
but
it, yes,
right,
yes,
yeah,
fabulous.
And also about the soul too, like how to have a healthy body and a healthy soul. So that all of these things, like having a healthy body helps us souls to shine more brightly too. So it's really a holistic way to help children. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about your book in a bit, but I just didn't know if you wanted to just, you know, I did it on Facebook Live that you're in Baltimore. You want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure.
Education?
Right now, I live in Baltimore. We also live in Israel. And let's see, my children, I have 6 adult children, and they're all wonderful parents. And let's see, I met my husband in Israel, and we lived there like 10 years, and then we moved back to the States. Interesting thing about us is that we were both born like a block away from each other
in New York.
Yeah, but we never met each other until we met in Jerusalem.
Isn't that interesting? Now, see, he didn't go to Harvard as well, did he?
No. And he had moved away before I was born, but we were born like 2 blocks away from each other.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, so it's been amazing. His path has been similar to mine, his path of searching in life. So when he went to Israel, he had also graduated from college, and he was a searcher like I was, you know. So, right, I was basically searching for meaning in life. Like, I just felt, you know, there was the popular song at the time, Is That All There Is? And I was like, is this all there is? There's got to be more. I didn't know what more was. And, so I just kept searching. And at one point I decided I'm going to study like everything. So I began to do really well in school, searching for wisdom. And that's why I was able to, like, get into Harvard and because I felt like, oh, this must be the pinnacle of wisdom. Here I'm going to find out the purpose of life, you know.
There you go. Well, it sounds like you've had a fairly difficult journey getting to where you are right now, and I thought maybe you could share your journey of overcoming food addictions and finding joy is inspiring. So please tell us about that pivotal moment when you decided to make a change in your life.
Yep, exactly. So I was searching for meaning, just knowing something was missing in my life, and basically, but I didn't know what was missing. I didn't know that I was a spiritual being and that spiritual fulfillment would help to fill me up. So basically, the food addictions began in my teenage years. As soon as I started searching for more, I found that I wasn't filled up. Like, it was always more. Like, nothing seemed enough, and always there seemed to be something missing. It was like a constant theme that actually got more and more desperate as I got older. And getting to Harvard, I felt like, okay, this is it. I reached the top. And like, there's one pivotal story which I wrote about in my memoir, which is like, I'm at this garden party with really famous people and, like, you know, the children of the Kennedys and Moynihans and Rockefellers, and I'm like, this is it. And I look at them, and I'm like, they're the same as me. Like, they're just looking for something more, too. like they're just looking past who they're talking to and wanting something more also. Like, you know, it was funny because it was this beautiful day in May, and all of a sudden it started pouring like a huge thunderstorm. And I know I started to feel, wow, all these powerful people, and they can't stop the rain from coming down their party. I'm like, there's something more in life, but what is it? I felt like, okay, I reached the top, and it was an illusion. There's nothing up here. So what does give lasting pleasure? What does give more meaning? So I actually, the food addictions actually got worse after that point. I was like fluctuating between like intense dieting and binges, one or the other. So it had nothing to do with real hunger. I was eating because of an emptiness, an inner emptiness. And then when I would overdo it like that with these horrible, uncontrollable binges, then I would just diet like with super restrictions to make up for that. And it was a terrible way to live. It was like an addiction is like a prison where the walls get narrower and narrower. It starts to take over your whole life.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way of putting that. That's very interesting. So I just got to go back to the garden party real quick. How is it you got invited to that?
Good question. Yes, it was just because of my boyfriend. My boyfriend, like, his father was a big corporate lawyer, and somehow I got invited.
How fun must that have been? Wow. So yeah. I just had to ask that. So
yeah.
He mentioned the food addictions. And how did those experiences with that food addiction impact your day-to-day life and your overall well-being?
It took over my whole life. So there I was at Harvard, and I began studying it. So here I become like the expert at Harvard on eating disordered behavior. I write a chapter for a book, a textbook that it's still used in women's studies courses around the country, focusing on why do women become anorexic, why is it women, how are women influenced by society. You know, And I brought in speakers, and I'd give talks and do groundbreaking research on this subject while getting sicker and sicker. So an intellectual understanding is not enough. And from then, I went on to medical school, and I was planning to become a psychiatrist. And, of course, you know, what was I going to study? So there, too, and this I wrote about in my book. I like if you read the memoir, you're actually there with me during the binges. Like I chronicle exactly what is happening, like a documentary. It's that state of mind. I try to, you know, really get into what a person is experiencing, because the memoir I wrote is really, it's based on my diaries and journals, so I just, it's actual an experience. And so there I am, and the behavior gets more and more bizarre. When you have an addiction, you're doing almost everything in secret. Nobody knows what you're doing, and on the outside, you just try to appear normal. Like you spend all your coping mechanisms trying to just act regular so that nobody suspects what you're doing with all addictions, you know. But
interesting.
Yeah, so that's what was going on, and I was getting sicker and sicker, and the behaviors were getting more and more bizarre until finally I remember confiding to my boyfriend in medical school that, like, I really need help, and I started asking him for help, and I visited the psychiatrist who was the psychiatrist for medical students, you know, and it was really interesting. He was a Japanese psychiatrist, and I unfolded everything to him, all my secrets, everything I was doing, and he said to me, I know you feel like you're really, really in a very sick place right now. He said, but I have this feeling, like when you go to Israel this summer, that, like, you're going to find what you've been missing spiritually. Like, I think it's like a spiritual craving that you're really talking about. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he picked up on this because I wasn't even aware of it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, she's the expert, right? My goodness.
Yeah.
So you mentioned filling up with gratitude based on this timeless wisdom called the pleasure ladder. And most of us have never heard of that, and I thought you could explain what do you mean by the pleasure ladder?
Exactly. So when I got to Israel that summer, I just had a six-week break, but I ended up not returning because my whole life changed then. That was the detour. So I learned from about my heritage, which I was born Jewish, but it was like a cultural thing. I wasn't really aware of, like, deep spiritual wisdom from it. In fact, I studied Buddhism and Christian Science, other religions, searching for spiritual understanding, not really recognizing it in my own heritage. And when I got to Israel, I started to learn from many different amazing wise rabbis there, but one of them taught about the pleasure ladder, and it immediately grabbed me. And all the teachings, really, they fit inside of my soul like a puzzle piece that was missing, because I gained from all the spiritual teachings that I learned, but it didn't fit like such a perfect puzzle piece like this did. It was an amazing feeling. So the pleasure ladder, it's based on ancient Kabbalistic teachings. And what it explains is that there's five levels of pleasure. And these five levels of pleasure, they correspond to our five fingers, because it's showing us that we have in our hands right in front of us the ability to bring pleasure into our lives at any moment. It's a very empowering understanding. We have this pleasure right here within us, right here in front of us. So the five levels correspond to our five fingers to remind us, and they also correspond to the five levels of the human soul. So this is a universal teaching. And the lowest level of the soul is the part that's attached to our body. So all the natural, sensual, physical pleasures in this world, they bring us pleasure on the lowest level of pleasure. Like, for instance, all the natural foods that are designed for our pleasure, all spending time in nature, exercising, dancing, swimming, gardening, and music. These are just all different types of natural physical pleasures, all designed for us to enjoy them with gratitude. That's the secret ingredient. When we experience them with gratitude, that's how we experience lasting pleasure that really fills us up. So that's just the first lowest level, and this is what I began to understand, that gratitude was the missing ingredient that I needed to nourish my soul. First, to recognize that I was a soul, recognize that we're all souls, and that we need physical and spiritual pleasure, and the spiritual pleasure that we all need is gratitude. That's that's the missing ingredient that really changes our lives to be lives of fulfillment.
So if there's five levels, is gratitude, could you just name the five levels just so that I'm clear on what they are? So is gratitude one of the levels?
Yes, thank you so much. Gratitude is the price that we pay to climb every single rung on this ladder, which has five levels. So the lowest level are all the natural physical pleasures. The next level up is called love. I'll name them all first before love. And then above that is meaning, doing good and meaningful things. Above that is creativity. And the highest level of all is called transcendence, the oneness, the unity, the recognition of complete connection with us and everybody else. Because when we are in addiction or feeling lonely, anxious, depressed, anything that gives us a sense of estrangement, we feel cut off and disconnected, all of these levels bring us to a place of connection. How? Through gratitude, because gratitude is that bridge. It's, when we're feeling gratitude, it means we're not alone. We're being given to by someone else, you know, and we're reconnecting to the world with love.
Yes.
And, yeah.
That's great. So how did that concept help you in your journey towards joy and fulfillment?
It's like this. When I began to understand, that to me, what the rabbi was explaining to me basically is that the purpose of life, I kept asking and asking, what's the purpose of life for years and years? And the purpose of life, what he explained, is to experience the greatest pleasure possible. And that sounds hedonistic, but really the greatest pleasure possible is all the spiritual pleasures. It's gratitude. That is the greatest pleasure, filling ourselves up with gratitude and filling our days up. And so that's what completely changes everything. Yeah.
That's great. You know, I meant to say this earlier, so I'm going to just say it now, and I'll probably say this at the end. I like to spell people's names, so if somebody wants to look you up, they can. So I'm going to spell your name for our listeners. It's Bracha's first name is spelled B-R-A-C-H-A, and her last name is spelled G-O-E-T-Z. So G-O-E-T-Z. And you can actually, she does have a website, and it's she pronounces it Getz, just so you know that that's how she says it. But it's G-O-E-T-Z, books with an S. Oh, no, I'm sorry, just say book. G-O-E-T-Z, bookshop.com. And you will see all of the books that are there, including the Nourish the Soul book and all of her children's books. So once again, I'm just going to be clear about how to spell this. G-O-E-T-Z-B-O-O-K-S-H-O-P.com. And you
Thank
can also
you
find
so
her
much.
On social. You're welcome. So back to our conversation. So what are some of the practical steps or strategies you use to overcome your food addiction and cultivate a mindset of gratitude that you spoke about?
Yeah, wonderful. So basically, let's say you're eating, you're overeating. Let's say you feel like overeating. So here's one thing that you could do. This is really practical. You don't like create your new spoonful or forkful of food until you've completely chewed up and swallowed what's in your mouth.
Oh.
And it's really funny because I didn't even know I wasn't doing that, you know? But then when you realize, oh my goodness, I'm not even enjoying what I'm having right now. It gets you to slow down and be grateful for what you're actually experiencing, what you're eating right this moment, so you're not rushing on to the next bite of life. You know, it helps you to linger and savor this moment in life and really enjoy it.
That is so fabulous how you compare the food and life. I think it's brilliant, which is obviously why you're an exceptional author. But I think that what you're saying is so impactful for so many people. In fact, you don't even necessarily have to have an addiction, but perhaps you're just rushing through life.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, take a deep breath. Slow down.
Yeah.
Did you even taste that last mouthful? Or are you just
shoving
it in your mouth and you don't even remember what you ate? So
yeah.
I think that's really significant information. And I want to spend just a little bit of time because, my God, 42 children's books? How did your personal experience and challenges influence the themes or the messages in those books?
Yeah, well, I basically try to write the books I wished I had as a child. Books that explain to children from the very beginning of life the secret to happiness, the secret to gratitude, the secret to having a joyful life, the secrets to living a healthy life. And all of my books, some it's more subtle and some it's more obvious, but every book has a message of gratitude in it. So children are incorporating these messages into their lives, whether they're recognizing the subtle message or some books are just blatantly about gratitude. You know what I mean? So in all different ways, that's what I'm explaining, how to be grateful for our healthy bodies and then to keep them healthy because we value them, you know, and the same thing with the books. Like even the books about prevention of abuse, if we are grateful for our bodies, we want to protect them and teaches you how to be proactive. They're all really on that theme of nourishing both our bodies and our souls. Yeah.
It's nice. And it's a book that you could just sit and read with your children. The covers of these books are beautiful. is there an age that you sort of are sort of targeting for these books?
Yeah, good question. Well, I have board books for the youngest age. In other words, like a baby that's 1 month old could even look at the board book to begin to look at the world through joyful eyes. Because these board books, like they have pictures of babies in them, and the babies like looking at other babies. It's really funny. And then so they look and the books are like, what do you see? That's the idea of these books, so they could begin to look at the world and be grateful for all the things in it and recognize them. And then it goes up to the picture books, which are, I would say, till about age 7 or 8 when children begin to read chapter books. And I don't write the chapter books except for my memoir. These are all picture books for really young children. But the secret to the picture books that people don't realize is that everybody reads these books because really young children read them, parents read them to children, grandparents read them, and then teenagers pick them up when no one's looking. So everybody really reads these books.
I love that. So, you know, I would say I have found this to be true even in my own life and people that I know. And that is, some people really struggle finding joy and fulfillment in their lives. How do you guide others to discover and cultivate joy using the pleasure ladder wisdom?
Well, what I'm doing is, this is kind of my mission in life because, like you said, people don't know about this. And it's so basic. Like, we'll hear, if you want to cheer up, if you're feeling sad, you know, eat more healthy, volunteer, exercise. But now, this explains why that works. Now we get why it works, because we're souls, and we have to nourish our souls. Once we recognize that we need the spiritual fulfillment that gratitude brings, then we can consciously bring gratitude into our lives all the time. So that recognition changes everything. For me, it's a simple understanding, but it changes to me the entire picture of life. It's a whole different lens to look at life through eyes of gratitude.
I bet. And, you know, maybe you could even share an example or two, maybe one or two, because we have a lot of questions I want to talk with you about. But could you just perhaps share an example of when you're practicing gratitude that's made a significant impact on your outlook and well-being?
Well, the first thing I do, like, I follow these guidelines now where these are Jewish guidelines, but really everybody can incorporate this.
I was going to say, you don't have to be Jewish to do this.
Exactly.
So let's be clear.
Exactly. I wake up in the morning, and the guidelines that I follow, the first word out of my mouth is thank you. It's just, it begins the whole day with that tone.
Yes. I do that,
what
too.
What am I thanking? Exactly. I'm thanking that my soul got another day here on earth to experience joy and gratitude. That's really what I'm grateful for. And it's... And then I look at everything around me in that light, you know, and I see that. I love to give the example of an orange because it's so simple, but you see so much wisdom. An orange, for instance, let's just take one orange. All the fruit, they're all green when they're not ready for us. They're camouflaged in with the leaves. And then they become the most bright and beautiful color when they're ready for us. So they're designed to be pleasurable to look at and to smell. They smell so fresh and wonderful when they're ready for us. And then they're individually packaged. And and the orange has this peel on it that keeps the sweet juiciness in for months. It's amazing. And then after we experience the taste, another sense, we find at the end the pits, these little seeds that can turn into trees and infinite more oranges. So packed in just one tiny orange is infinite wisdom and infinite loving kindness. And if we have the consciousness to recognize that, and we're not going to recognize it every single time we eat an orange, but even whenever we do, we feel loved, we feel cared for. It's a way to give ourselves self-care and joy all day long when we have this perspective, when we open our eyes to see the abundance of ways that this world was designed to care for us. Because why we overeat or engage in any really bad habit or addiction is because we feel a scarcity of pleasure in our lives. So when we recognize that there's really an abundance, it changes our entire perspective.
You have just changed for every single person listening to this podcast a concept of an orange. How can you listen to this and not pick up an orange or a tangerine and go, oh, my gosh, I never thought of it like this. But that was an exceptional, exceptional example.
Oh.
So how does you've talked a lot about gratitude. How does gratitude tie into resilience when facing adversity, and how has it helped you bounce back from those challenges?
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of my newest children's books is called Don't Read This Book.
Right, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, it took me 30 years to write this book because I had the title, I had most of the book written for years, but I felt I didn't have the ending. It took many years of gathering wisdom, really, to get to the point where finally the book could be published recently, and that's because I finally understood the ending.
Mm.
We all have inside of us, and imagine, I'm teaching this now to very young children, and they get it. And for us, we can still learn it at any point in life. We can always play catch up. But this is the thing. We have in all of our heads, we think we're the only ones, but we all have in our heads this voice that's telling us, you're missing that. You're lacking this. Oh, gosh, you'd be really happy if you only had this. It's there, again, it's there all day long, morning till night, trying to make us miserable. So this voice, that's the voice that is saying don't read this book, because if you read this book, you're going to find out and learn how to outsmart the voice. You know, the voice is telling don't read.
Mm.
But the point is we can outsmart that voice. The main thing we need to do is just recognize that it's talking to us. So whenever you have a thought, I'm missing this, I'm lacking that, that is the voice. It gets us to focus on what we're lacking. That's what all of adversity is about in our lives. So how do we switch that around? What do we say? First we say, oh, I recognize that I'm feeling miserable. I get that. You embrace that. You don't try to run away from it. You accept that. You investigate it. Why am I feeling miserable? Wait a minute. What's going on here? And then you can begin to nurture and nourish yourself by turning it around. Wait a minute. Why should I be miserable? I'm going to focus on all that I do have right now. I'm going to push that away. Push the voice away. And when you push that voice away, you grow your gratitude muscles. In other words, that voice is given to us for a good reason. We all have it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's an exception. We all have it. We are meant to recognize that voice and push it away, and we get stronger and stronger. It gets easier and easier the more you practice gratitude, the more you're able to not live in a world of lacking and adversity and missing things. Difficult challenges are going to happen to everybody. Our lives are filled with that. That's what our days on earth are for. But we don't have to be pulled down by them. We can recognize this is a challenge, and I'm going to fill up my life with gratitude just like you did. Marcia, you are a perfect example of this. This whole podcast is an expression of you choosing gratitude.
You.
Yeah,
that's
what I see.
That's very kind of you to say that, because clearly, you know, many of you know my backstory. You know, when my husband died over 15 years ago unexpectedly, that wasn't something I was planning on. It certainly wasn't anything he was planning on. And now what? Do you just dig a hole in the sand and bury your head? Or do you stand up and say, well, Butch lived by this motto, it is what it is. And honestly, Brock, what I would always say after that is, yeah, but, and he would say, no, this is the engineer, so he have to understand that too. He would say, it is what it is, period, adapt. And so when he died so unexpectedly, I felt his spirit. I'm also Jewish. My husband was Catholic. But I felt his spirit sort of leap into my system and say, Marcia, I didn't mean to leave you. It is what it is. Adapt. And, you know, Baraka, it actually gave me some comfort in knowing that. He didn't die of a heart attack. He died of sudden cardiac arrest. That was not painful. Started in the brain. It just eased his body out. He felt nothing. He didn't even know what was happening. The worst thing was having to tell my children, you're going to have to sit down because you're not prepared to hear what I'm about to tell you. Mm. But then, like you talk about gratitude, then you say, well, now what? What are you going to do with your life? It's not like you have to make instant decisions, but you have people that surround you, people that are your friends, people that know you, people that knew him, your classmates, your community. I've lived in my home since we got married in 1971. We bought this home that I'm continuing to live in right now since 1973, a community I grew up in. I've lived here. My children were raised here. We went to the same high school. I do have gratitude, and I do start my day precisely with what you just said. In fact, I end my days that way.
Yeah.
I thank God for my day. Thank you. And I'm grateful. So I really can relate to a lot of what you're saying. And I'm just, you know, I'm just interested in your experience. What are some of the common barriers people face when they're trying to break free from addictions, and how can they overcome these obstacles?
One of the things that happens is that people fall down again. It's just that's what's going to happen. And how does that voice, it says, I'm just giving overeating as the example. Oh, you just overate? Well, then you just might as well keep eating. Keep overeating. It all doesn't matter anymore. You're a failure already. Just keep it going. So again, you go, oh, that's that voice again, trying to get me to be miserable. Okay, I'm just going to be grateful. Again, go back to you, Marcia. You look what you've done with this. You know, you created this whole community. You meet new people now. You interview them. You help authors. You help all kinds of people to shine their light in the world. It's just awesome where you went from, no, I could be lonely, or I could meet lots of new interesting people all the time. It's like you completely changed it around. So let's say the person overeats and they eat 10 cookies and they go, wow, I'm so grateful I didn't have 20 cookies. And let's say they ate 20 cookies and you go, I'm so grateful I didn't eat 200 cookies. You can always find something to be grateful for. You don't have to fall into that trap of getting miserable. You can always reconnect with that amazing, infinitely beautiful part of yourself, that the part that is shining, that light that is shining, that's really what you're an example of, and that's what you're that's what you're helping other people to shine their light as well. That's what it's really all about, because every one of us, if we're here on Earth right now, we are here because we have this amazing light to shine that nobody else can shine in that same beautiful way.
You know, another word that I think is really, that I apply to myself, and I suspect that you do as well, besides gratitude, which is formal, I mean, it's written right in front of me as I'm speaking to you, is resilient.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we struggle. And when you recognize, and that's part of what I do at night, I acknowledge, yes, this was an issue, but guess what?
Yeah.
You were resilient. You conquered it. You took care of it. You made it happen. Congratulations. I'll ask because, I mean, other than the cat, you know, I will say these things out loud. Way to go, girl. You did it. And I think that's another way of just being grateful. And I think mindfulness is so important. So,
yep.
What role does mindfulness play in your journey towards living joyfully and fulfilled? And how do you integrate that mindfulness practice into your daily life? Do you meditate?
Yes.
Do you do yoga? What do you do?
Yeah, I definitely do yoga. Yoga is a wonderful way to develop mindfulness because you move slowly. You're on this mat. You're in this one spot, and you focus. You focus on the different body parts that we're so grateful are working. You notice all of these. Otherwise, you just don't even pay attention to it.
It's
usually slow. Again, you get to savor and linger in different positions. You get to appreciate them. Yoga also is the word comes from the word unity. It's again about that oneness. It's again about recognizing that the energy flowing through you and me is flowing through all of us. It's all coming from the same source. We are all connected. And we're all mostly energy. That's really who we are. So if you look at an atom, it's mostly empty space. It's energy. That's who we are. And in all the books, everything that comes out of me, it's all just channeling that energy, you know, in this wonderful world. Really the garden that we were given to live in. So mindfulness, it's just redirecting our minds to the abundance of gifts in our lives right this very moment. It's being in the moment and filling up our minds with that recognition of all these blessings. That's how I see
it. I also would just say, besides the movement and yoga, I just have to add this real quickly. For me, it's also the breath work. Sometimes you just need to take a deep breath. I know I do. And just focusing on taking that four-square breathing of just inhaling and holding and exhaling and holding also for me is very, very mindful.
Yes, breath. It's so basic. That's that breath flowing around the universe. Exactly
you
right.
Bet. You bet.
When I think of the pandemic, it got us to be grateful for the most basic things we were taking for granted before that, which is like being with other people, hugging, being
just
healthy.
Connecting.
And exactly. And our breath. It became such a focus on how lucky we are to be able to breathe and to appreciate that. Yeah.
That's true. So, you shared your wisdom through your books. But, and I think you sort of already mentioned on what inspired you to start writing and how this platform has helped you reach out to others seeking guidance. Is there anything more you wanted to add about that?
Well, I love giving presentations. I go all over. And all over the world, I love it because everybody can relate in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, in the United States, in the Middle East. And I speak to people from all different religions because this is just universal. I love being a part of bringing people closer together, just like that's exactly what you're doing too. When we help other people shine, it helps our souls to shine. And that's one of the levels on the pleasure ladder. It just automatically happens instantaneously. And
you bet.
Like one example. I mean, like if we just text somebody, like we send them a text and we say, you know what I appreciate about you? You know, it was so wonderful what you did for me last week. All of a sudden, that bag of potato chips isn't calling your name so loudly. Right in that moment, you get filled up with gratitude, appreciating somebody else. You don't need the bag of potato chips. You don't need to eat the whole container of ice cream anymore. Like it happens instantaneously that you fill up, the moment you fill up with gratitude. I love spreading this message just all over.
I could see. Have you done a TED Talk yet? Because, boy, I certainly could see you doing that.
I haven't even researched how those things get done, but maybe someday I'll look into it. But I don't know. I speak at schools, you know, and I talk to children, and I love when they give me feedback about the books that they read. It's a great joy doing this. Thank God.
I know. I'm sure that's true. So, so you're an advocate, obviously, for joy and fulfillment and gratitude. What advice would you offer to individuals that are struggling to find happiness in their lives right now?
So, it's a thing where the more you practice it, the easier it becomes. When you begin to practice gratitude, it feels like when you drive a car on a road that has never been driven on, it's very gravelly, it's very hard, mm-hmm. it feels weird. But once you create those grooves, it gets easier and easier to go to drive down that path. And it's the same thing with the neural pathways. When we create gratitude pathways, we turn our brains into gratitude brains. It's unbelievable. What they say, neurons that fire together wire together. So the more we practice gratitude, the more grateful we become. And we know now that our brains have neuroplasticity. We can change them. We can become more grateful people at any point in life.
That's true.
So that's become a happier... I'm sorry, what?
I know, I was going to say, what occurs to me is that but first you have to have the mindset, correct? To practice it.
The mindset to experience just one tiny thing, like an orange. You'll feel so silly doing it, but just do it and you'll be giggling, whatever, and you'll see how you feel right after you do it. It's about filling up your life with happy moments because, I have a quote here. What's the difference between a happy life and a miserable one?
And what is it?
It's how grateful you are. It's not the things that are happening to you. It's how you look at them. It's how you respond to them. It's whether you can be grateful. It's whether you can, the lens with which you view the world, that changes everything. So you can do it just one moment at a time. Any moment that you're grateful is a moment that you're not miserable. Just value each moment that you could do it.
It's so true. I love that quote. When this call is over, I'm going to ask you to restate that for me because I'm going to put that in my blog.
Let me say it right now again, in case anybody. I'll say it again. Let me look at this here.
Yes.
What's the difference between a happy life and a miserable one? How grateful you are. Yeah, it's that simple. Because what do parents want for their children? Parents want their children to have the most pleasurable life possible, and that's really our whole purpose for being here, to enjoy this amazing garden. We've gone really off track, but we could get right back on track and really enjoy it.
So there are some self-care practices that I think that you probably find beneficial in maintaining a healthy and joyful lifestyle. And you had, I think you had mentioned a little bit about that. Do you want to mention a little bit more about that?
Right. Well, all these things on the pleasure ladder, beginning with the bottom, is eating healthfully and exercising. I love it. And if you don't love exercising, you could start with just a neck roll and just exercise your fingers. Just start with the smallest little movements. You don't have to be doing anything big. Only do what you enjoy.
Right.
That's sustainable. Why do things that you don't enjoy? There's so many ways that you can move. Turn on the music, dance around your home. There's endless ways. So that, eating healthy, exercising, I love to do that. Music, filling your days with music. And then moving up the pleasure ladder is appreciating other people, focusing on what you appreciate about another person. That's love. It's funny that love can be empowering. You think it depends on someone else, but this ancient definition is focusing on the virtues of another. So even in prison, a person could focus on a grandmother that once did a kindness for them, and in that moment they're uplifted, they're inspired, they get a warm emotional feeling. Nobody's present with them. You can bring that sense of gratitude into your life at any moment without anybody being with you. You can just focus on the virtues of another and get that warm emotional feeling. And when you express it in gratitude to others, that also fills you up. So that's the next level up, and then doing something good and meaningful. Whenever we do that, it's right away creates that bond of gratitude. Wait, I have a great story about that. There was another
show.
I was on.
We've got time.
Right?
Okay, go right ahead.
Oh, good, Marcia. So like, this guy said that he was just feeling miserable. And he had two slices of pizza, and he's about to plow through the whole box of pizza when there's a knock on the door, and he goes, his neighbor needs his help for 2 minutes. He helps his neighbor, I don't know what it was, move furniture, something. He comes back, and he doesn't need the pizza anymore.
Huh.
Like, what changed in those 2 minutes, you know? He connected. He felt gratitude that he could give to someone else. He didn't feel that lonely, miserable feeling anymore. He filled up, and he put the rest of the pizza pie in the fridge for another day. It works just that quickly. That giving to others creates that bond. It makes us feel grateful to be alive, grateful to help others, grateful to be us, that we could be helpful. So each level up, and then The next to the highest level, it's surprising, is creativity. When we're in that zone, when I'm in that zone, I don't feel like eating or sleeping, like, and it's beyond time. You're totally not aware of time passing when you're being creative, whatever it is that you love to be creative with. So you're doing that, and it's like such a high that you're on when you're in that state of creativity. And then the highest level is, you know, what I've experienced, very rare moments. And each level up is a little bit rarer. And that highest level, like you know, when you've been in the country under a starry, starry sky, and you know you're like a part of the universe. And it's that sense of being connected and just being a part and grateful to be part of that abundance, you know. We can experience it at other amazing transcendental moments like that in life when we just recognize the connection between us and everybody. So and also when we transcend our own limitations, like we begin to break a bad habit, we just start to make that first crack, and we can transcend that limited view of ourselves and become more limitless, of reconnecting to our real limitless selves, who we are, our soul, nourishing our hungry souls. Yeah,
yes.
So those are the ways that I use too every day to come to a place of joy and gratitude. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because obviously you are a very productive woman. You do a lot. You've written a lot. You have a business and all of those things. And oftentimes people ask me this question, and I know you weren't expecting me to ask you this, but I'm going to anyway because we do have a little bit more time. So how do you personally balance, and I think I know the answer to this, your professional life and your personal life? How do you balance the two?
It's hard to say. Like when my children were little, obviously I didn't spend as much time on my professional life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My children were my profession, you know?
Yes, I get that.
I mean, I had six little children, and And people would say, you know, you're a Harvard grad and you're a homemaker, you know? And like, yeah, like I really devoted my intelligence and my creativity to my children. You know, that's where it went. And and I didn't progress professionally for like 17 years. I stayed home with them, and that was my that was my devotion, you know?
Sure, I get that.
Yeah.
Well, we have just another few minutes, and I would like to know this. And certainly gratitude is the thread of this entire podcast. But what messages of hope and encouragement would you like to leave for our listeners who may be on their own journey of overcoming adversities and seeking joy and fulfillment in their life? What advice would you like to give them?
I want to give this advice because, you know, I'm very, very grateful and happy person now, but there was a point in my life when I did not even want to continue living. And people go through these times. I really didn't see the purpose. It's hard to believe, but it was really like that. And there's a story about, imagine this man, he's on the roof, and he's ready to jump. And a lady, she's across the way, and she sees him. And she says, whatever you do, don't jump. And he goes, why not? I have no reason to keep living. And she says to him, I'm sure you have so many problems, and you have so much pain in your life. What if, in addition to all that, what if you were also blind? And what if right now you were given the gift of sight for the first time? Would you still jump? And he says, no, of course not. And she says, well, here's the gift of sight. You have two legs that got you up to this. You have arms. You can hear. You can see. You can talk to me. You still have so much to be grateful for in your life. So if you can remember that, then you won't be blind anymore to all the goodness that's still in your life right now. And that's all of us. We all have that. And we have it all day, and we have this choice to make all the time to recognize all the loving kindness that this orange was made just for you to experience with love. It's amazing. It came to you for a reason. You really are being loved by the universe, and recognize that. And I just, that's my message of hope for every single person.
Well, I don't know how anybody could not spend this hour with us together and not understand your beautiful soul. And what you're all about, because you're authentic, which is something that I really appreciate. You're not just here to sell a book and say, oh, please buy my books. This is because your books are going to sell regardless. And as I mentioned, I'll make sure that people have access to your website when I post our blog about this show together, because, you know, a lot of school teachers listen to my podcast, and a lot of people in different avenues of their professional life listen to this. And I can see where whatever you do, regardless of your field, how what you're saying is so applicable to people living their life. And I think your example about the guy standing ready to jump, and then understanding, but you know, you can see that you got up here. I think that your storytelling is exceptional, and I can just appreciate everything that you've had to say and why you're continuing to write. I'm sure there's another book out there just waiting for you. I'm sure you've always got one in progress. Do you have one in progress as we're speaking?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Why did I already know that answer? But that's terrific, because you know what? You were born to write. I was born to talk. You were born to write and to share. And we all bring our gifts to the table. And I just want to thank you for sharing your gifts with all of our listeners today, because I think it was, I am so grateful. And my hand went straight to my heart when I said that. I don't just say that word and not look like I'm about to do the Pledge of Allegiance. My hand went straight to my heart because I am really grateful for the time that you spent with me today sharing your very meaningful story and how you took something that was pretty devastating and just turned it into something so phenomenal. Thank you so much for joining me today, Braca. This was really an exceptional part. It was just great. I can't listen. When that next book comes out, we're gonna have to do this again. So everybody, I hope you've all enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you will share it with your friends, and I hope you'll go and visit her website and purchase this book, because I think everybody could benefit by that. And so for now, I'm going to just thank you, Braca, for once again joining me, let you get on with the rest of your day on the East Coast. And I'll be back here next week with another guest, everybody, because I was born to talk. Thanks again. Bye for now, everybody.
Right now at Wendy's, you can get a small frosty for just $1, and everyone is going, including you. Just a hunch. The iconic frosty for $1, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Not valid in a combo. Third-party delivery prices may be higher. Hours may vary by location.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.